Hi, we're Just Muslim Things, and today, Shazeen, Lana, Amina, Janan, and guest Uzma will be talking about blasphemy.
Okay, welcome everyone to another episode. Today's episode is going to be on blasphemy. And we're going to go over what blasphemy is, what we can do to prevent it from happening, and instances of microaggressions in our society towards blasphemy. And I did want to say that we have a new guest. We have Uzma. Adalia, unfortunately, has to go under reconstructive jaw surgery, so she won't be here for a little while. Wish her luck. Make dua for her, obviously. I'm just going to go into the first question. So the first question is, what would you, how would you define blasphemy?
Honestly, something that, almost goes against the main, shahada of the religion, but you may not realize that you're saying it until someone actually points it out. So there's, for example, I think one of them is, when you knock on wood, people think, I guess that could be considered, blasphemy because you're relying on, something else to back up your luck besides, mm-hmm. like God.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that people usually do, especially because we live in the South. It's, a thing we're just used to doing, just, knocking on wood or something. So, honestly, that's the first one that popped into my mind, but, yeah, that's what I'd probably say it is.
And I think one minor one is calling each other God or goddess. You know how you can comment something like that, oh my God, you look like a goddess. Even though you don't mean any ill by it, it's technically, blasphemy. So according to Oxford, the definition is blasphemy is an act or offense of speaking against God or sacred things. So in Islam, this means that a person acts towards is disrespectful towards God or the denies any of the seven articles of faith. And do you guys want to go over some examples?
Yeah, I guess I'll start, but for me personally, I've always associated blasphemy on someone's making fun of the prophet or whatever. So the most recent example I can think of is probably the stuff that's going on in France, I guess, because they did it on purpose when they know, because they have such a large Muslim population already. So they're aware, but they still did it just to start stuff up, you mm-hmm. know, making fun of the prophet and displaying it on buildings, you know. So
what would you, what do you think your response should be in a situation like that?
I mean, first of all, a lot of people are oh, it's not your place to say anything. You're the prophet doesn't need you to defend him and stuff like that. But I feel like as a Muslim, it's you're right. So if someone is making fun of your faith or doing something like on purpose, especially if it's a non-Muslim or something, and they're doing it's targeted to get a reaction or purposely inciting something, then you should do whatever you can in your power to denounce it in obviously a peaceful way. But
yeah, of course.
They'll speak against it.
So just so that everyone's clear, why is it not okay to have illustrations of the prophet and things like that?
It's because we don't know what he looks like.
Also, it's so that there isn't some kind of act of worship towards the picture. For example, people, in Christianity, they'll have, pictures of Jesus, and that's, kind of them showing, their love for Jesus or, their, how do I explain this?
Appreciation.
Yeah, and we just kind of don't have that up because we only believe that there's one God and we don't need a picture to worship, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
Or to protect us, which is actually another thing that I was going to say, that people tend to put up, for example, a Quran or a picture of, or a painting of the names of God, and they'll think that that's going to protect their house or protect them, but it's should be considered blasphemy that people don't usually consider.
Yeah,
I mean, I think people put Ayat al-Kursi, but I don't think that's blasphemy because it's a surah from the Quran.
Well, that's something that is known to protect you from certain things, for example, from jinn or all that,
just harm. Yeah.
But when people say that, when they put, for example, a picture of, or a painting of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they say that this is going to protect their home, that's an act of blasphemy, because they're saying that a picture is going to protect them over God himself. So but Ayat al-Kursi is something that we know is like protects us from like jinn or all that.
Yeah, I feel like it in itself, like putting up like pictures and stuff is not bad, but it depends on like what intention you have. Like
right.
You go in thinking like, oh, like I don't need to do anything, but like this one thing is going to protect me, then that's wrong.
Another thing is like the Charlie Hebdo cartoons. That's something that's been going on for like a long time. People in France like think it's okay to like draw character. They take the aspect of our religion where we're not supposed to like draw God or draw like any of the prophets, and they take that. And I think they kind of like try to poke fun at that, because we know there's drawings of like Jesus, there's drawings of, you know, other famous like I guess you would say gods and goddesses and other beliefs. And so they just kind of like, I think, poke fun at the fact that we don't like to do that. And then also like the thing with those cartoons are those are like aren't normal cartoons, they're like caricatures. And like in our religion, the prophet is so respected and the prophet is held at such a high level, like he's the example for all Muslims. And if you like try to degrade him like or his personality or anything, like God sincerely loves him. And so if you try to do that, that's just a direct like insult to not only him but like to our religion and all Muslims.
Yeah, and I feel like the other thing is like they like bring like our religion, like Islam and especially the prophet, especially in France, into like their own like politics, which is like I really strongly disagree with. It's like just to earn like political points or whatever, like get more votes, and you're gonna start up like different like controversies and stuff like that. So I think that within itself, the fact that you have to even use it, not just like even creating the cartoons, is like blasphemy in itself.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so the next question, how is blasphemous behavior normalized? Like, what are some situations where you see blasphemy occurring, like, a lot in our modern world?
I feel like one thing that you hear basically every 14-year-old guy say is, like, on jaw or whatever, but, mm-hmm. like, you can't say anything besides on God, because you're basically, like I said before, you're associating something else with God, so... Yeah. Like, every single time you hear, like, onja or, like, whatever, like, they say that for everything, but they don't know what's wrong. Like, they, I mean, it's just something they say.
Why are you guys fighting these people?
But then another thing is, like, even, like, saying something small, like, it's not just Islam, like, it's something that's definitely in other, like, cultures as well, or in society that... in people who don't practice Islam as well. Like, for example, in Christianity, like, little kids like to go around saying, like, Jesus Christ, like, every time they do something. Like, that's technically blasphemy, too, because I asked, like, a Christian person one time, and I was like, oh, I'm not even Christian. Like, I can't say that. And they're like, well, I can't say it either because I am Christian. I'm like, okay, well, I didn't know it was, like, disrespect. And so I feel like that also, like, blasphemy technically, even though it's, like, minor, it still is, like, really normalized.
Right. Yeah, especially how like people like and like within Muslims are like, everyone's just like wallahi wallahi, but like you're making like a promise to God, and like it's like, and most people say it for like the dumbest things ever, like wallahi I'm gonna get like an airplane or something, and I'm just, like,
yeah, that's so true.
When you're playing Among Us and you put like the two L's and they make them I's so that people don't think you're lying about being an imposter.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, another thing that, like, some Muslims don't realize is that, like, if you go and, like, you don't celebrate Christmas in your house, but if you go out and celebrate it, like, with your friends.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some practices where, like, it'll be Eid and they'll hang, like, stockings or they'll have a Christmas tree. It makes no sense to me at all.
Man, put up an olive tree or something.
Right. And so blasphemy in itself is just, like, disrespect to a religion or like to beliefs. So technically that falls under like that umbrella, I guess. Okay, next question. Have you witnessed blasphemy yourself?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay. Well, I've seen a lot of like Arab Muslims put up Christmas trees and are like, oh, well, we believe in Jesus, so we can put a Christmas tree up and celebrate it. Which is like...
Okay, you know, like, fun fact, apparently, like, Jesus, or Prophet Isa wasn't even born in, like yeah, the winter time. Apparently he was born like next to a palm, like literally in summer. So I just find that funny. Anyone else?
Oh yeah, another one is like the evil eye, like the, you know, that like blue like necklace that everyone wears or they put in their houses or something, or they hand eye on it.
Yeah.
It's, like, considered blasphemy because I feel like this is the one thing I'm saying this whole time. You're having like something else protect you, or you think something else is gonna protect you other than God. Like, yes, evil eye is a thing, like Nazar is a thing. Or Hasad, what do we call it? Yeah, like Hasad is a thing. But like wearing a necklace that's literally a blue eye and saying that this is going to protect me from some auntie who judged me, like that's like considered blasphemy because you're associating something else with God.
Do you want to explain what Nazar is for some people who don't know exactly the concept of the evil eye?
So basically it's like someone, for example, they'll, you know, compliment you but they have a bad intention behind it. So for example, some people will have the paranoia if they do something big, like buy a house, and then someone comes over and they see something without saying like mashallah or God bless or something, they'll have that paranoia that something bad is going to happen because they don't know the person's intention, and they don't know, like they didn't hear that like word that you're like blessing their house, or like you're saying that they wish that God blesses your house. Or for example, like something that like everyone can relate to, when someone compliments like your makeup or something, and the next day you get a pimple, like
oh yeah,
says that's like Nazar, evil eye, because they didn't say mashallah or they had like a bad intention behind it.
Yeah, but also like the thing is, you can still wear like the blue like little eye thing, but you just don't you can't believe that it protects.
Yeah,
you.
Don't associate the meaning with the thing.
Because a lot of these things again are just like cultural things, like the evil eye is like not like part of Islam, just some people do it in their culture, and even like Christmas, like if you look at it from like a Christian perspective, it's not really part of their religion, they just like made it up.
Okay, that like... could be like a really controversial view, so do you want to explain that a little bit?
Okay, so basically how because like a Christian friend explained this to me, and basically what it is that when Christianity started out, there was like no holidays because, as we all know, Isa al-Islam died like very young, and obviously there wasn't
He didn't die. Well, according to Islamic belief.
According to Islam, he got like sent up to heaven, but like in their beliefs, like he didn't get like time to like spread his message, because in Muslims, in Islam, we believe his message was for Bani Israel, not, you know, for like...
For the rest of the world,
yeah. The rest of the world, but then obviously... the apostles or whatever, they spread it and they went to like Europe, right? That's where it got the most, you know, because of Isa al-Islam during that time, he was being, the area he was lived in was being ruled by the Roman Empire. So like they had their own like pagan holidays, and one of the holidays was like the winter festival or whatever. And to like create, like get people to like believe in Christianity and like to attract like followers, some of the like what should I call them, like messengers, let's just call them, of Christianity, they like to get more people interested in it, they created their own version of the holiday, because even as people started converting to Christianity, they kept on doing their own, like kept on doing their own pagan holidays, like Halloween or whatever, because that's why Halloween after
American thing.
Yeah.
Well, it evolved into American thing, but like it
evolved into an American thing, but before, Christmas was like some pagan holiday to like worship like their like winter gods or whatever in like Central Europe, like specifically in like Germany. That's why you have like the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So, whole thing. But like they didn't stop it. So like to like their church people, in order to like, you know, take them away from that, they created like a Christian holiday instead, so that way they thought that they weren't doing anything like pagan related activities, instead of it's like,
yeah, it's like a justification for,
basically.
That's really interesting. I think a lot of like Valentine's Day and Halloween and all, look at those kind of beliefs, like stem from origins that are like unknown to most people. Yeah. Who celebrate them. Yeah, they just kind of evolved into like westernized holidays.
Now it's like more of like a, not even like Christian, it's more like just like a everyone, like
It's just like a cute and quirky thing. Okay. A next one. What do you think is the difference between the blasphemy against Islam and the blasphemy against Christianity?
I think the difference with blasphemy against Islam and against Christianity is that for us, I think we have a lot more detailed beliefs. And we might get like some things messed up. And that these things could possibly send us to hell or heaven, but nobody does at the end of the day. That's what I'm saying. But also against Christianity is that like you'll say like Jesus Christ when like you hit something or some stuff like that.
I think one thing is that a lot of the blasphemy towards Islam, like from outside places like France or like anyone who makes caricatures or kind of like insults the religion, is doing it like on purpose. Whereas like Christianity, it's more ignorance.
Yeah, like in Christianity, they're not as much like knowledgeable on the. I'm not saying they're not knowledgeable on that, but like they don't understand maybe that that's possible. And for us, they're doing it, but on purpose because they're Islamophobic, basically.
Right. I wanted to bring up like, has anyone read like Dante's Inferno? No.
No.
Okay. So like, I heard about it.
So basically, Dante's Inferno is like a really popularized like book written by this very Christian man. And what he does is, in the book, the protagonist has to go through like a bunch of levels of hell and everything. And he's like, I think he's accompanied by Jesus or Prophet Isa to like help him escape through those levels. But because the author was so like heavily Christian, he put like all the Muslims in, like he put basically anyone who wasn't Christian or like really Christian in hell. So like he put all the prophets, right? He put you know, basically anyone who is Muslim, and like even Moses or like Musa or, you know, any of those, he put all of them in hell, and then he has to go and like rescue them, I guess. And then yeah, it's so weird. So then that's like the main idea of the book. And then for Hadija, she's like another girl on the podcast, she was talking to me about this and how her teacher, like in the book, it says that the prophet is killed in like the most gruesome way in the hellfire, right? And then she had to like act this out for her class, for her lit class. Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And then so she obviously like protested. She was like, no, this isn't like how I want my religion to be portrayed. And then the teacher, she wasn't understanding at all. All she said was, you can ask them to stop, but I'm not gonna say anything. And so those people like went on, and like some of her peers like still did it anyway, but then they like apologized to her because it was a group project. But that is like normalized blasphemy, because that book is like read in schools all across America.
What, that's like, that should not, I'm sorry, maybe I'm like too sensitive over this, but this should not be like normalized in
public. Yeah, I agree. Like this is so like this is the reason why Islamophobia is so prevalent in our society. If you show like the main figure that our religion represents in such a gruesome way, like apparently getting killed in hell, like you're gonna think that our prophet was a bad person. Like, astaghfirullah, of course he isn't, but that's the kind of like message that that's emphasizing.
First of all, why are they having a Christian book as like part of your curriculum? Because isn't this like a secular country? So then why are you gonna have like
not allowed to include religion in lessons unless it's like history?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like you're like learning about each like religion,
right? Like, yeah, like in history you learn about the different countries, but like it doesn't go deep into like in depth with the religion.
Yeah, exactly.
What class was this?
This was for her 10th grade lit class. And I was thinking, like, what's the point of even acting it out in the first place if it's so like gruesome and if it's so disrespectful? Because not only is it insulting like people, like Muslims, it's also insulting anyone who isn't Christian. Pretty sure there are like thousands of other books that you could choose from, but you have to choose like that one.
And that specific scene too.
Exactly. That sounds like really Islamophobic.
If a Muslim made a book like that and made everyone else in hell except for Muslims, there would be like huge protests and everything, just because the fact that the Christian and it's like the predominant, you know, like religion of America, then no one has to say anything for it.
Exactly. And one thing is like the church and the state are separate. You know, like religion has no like, that's another thing with like different things like gay rights or everything like that, like people make the argument that like state and church are separate, like governmental matters differ from like religion. And well, so
yeah, Sorry, yeah. No, you're fine. So I'm so sorry. I'm just like, yeah. So like, if you have that argument, then why are you bringing Islam into it? Because you have that argument for other things, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so why do, this is a question that like a lot of people find strange. Why do Muslims not worship Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, like Christians worship Jesus, alayhi salam?
Because he's a human like all of us, you know, like he wasn't, he was put onto this earth so that we can see a human figure that makes mistakes like us, that, you know, is blood and flesh, that so that we can learn from him. It's not like we see him as a god and that he never made mistakes so that we have to not make mistakes. It's like we see the mistakes that he made and that he learned from and that he taught us so that we can, you know, grow up and learn and get through life. Like making mistakes in Islam, like it's not like a huge deal, like as long as we learn from it. So we don't like praise him because, you know, if we see him as a god, we're gonna think, oh, he's perfect, like we have to be like we can never make mistakes, we can never, like there's nothing to learn from basically.
Yeah, and like God I think is such a hard concept to grasp, and so having like figures of Islam that represent it makes it easier for us to like look at that person, look at their experiences, and, you know, have a model for us, because we can't model after God, obviously. We're not like up to his level. So the prophet is like the next best thing, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think we could also be next to the level of prophet. Like,
that's true.
I think it's like God, then the prophet, like how we see it.
Right. But like what I meant is we use those as like a model for us at Honda, like, yeah. Not saying that we're prophets obviously, but like that is what we follow next to Allah.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole point of Islam is to like believe in God and be the best person that you can be. So like if we start worshiping the prophet, then there's like no, like then people are not even gonna like try, because like they're like, that's like, we're never gonna be at that level. So that's like,
exactly. Yeah. And then another thing is like the concept of Shahada is, or like the first pillar of the five pillars of Islam, is there's only one God and the prophet is his messenger, not like the prophet is his family. Mm-hmm. So it's just ingrained that he's not like a, like, you know, a figure. Yeah. Okay. So were you ever in a situation where someone else publicly disrespected Islam, the prophets, God, or any of the seven articles of belief?
Yes. So basically, I go to a school full of I can't say the word.
Predominantly.
and they always like to like backlash. They wouldn't like say it up front in front of me, but they would say it like back. They'd be like, oh, but like you don't even believe in anyone. I'm like, what do you mean? Or they basically would try to like disregard where I'm from or like stuff like that. And would say the Shahada.
Oh my God.
But like that's only like, I'm not even gonna like call it like a certain group of people out, but it's never the Christians that say that.
Wait, but then who is
Jews that say that to me?
Really? I think a lot of it is because of you know, the tensions in Palestine and everything like that. Like the, yeah.
But it should never come to religion at the end of the day, at least I believe.
Also, like, another thing that stems from this is, like, similar to Palestine, like, the Kashmir conflict between India and Pakistan is, like, very similar. Because a lot of, like a lot of Indians like to blame it on Muslims. Muslims blame it on, or, like, Pakistanis blame it on the Indians. And truly, like, you go and you ask someone who's actually, like, one thing that I believe about, like, any current issue is you can't just assume that someone's in, like, oppression. In an oppressive state without like being that person or knowing someone who's in that. Like I have family who like I know family from Kashmir, and they have extended family in Kashmir who's like really affected by the lockdown and everything, and how they can't literally are scared to even like phone call their siblings. Like it's severe, but like a lot of people, because they aren't in that position, they can't grasp the full like effect of it. And so they like play the religion game, or they play the culture game. They're like, oh yeah, your religion promotes violence anyway. You know how many, especially if you like go into comment sections of like really biased posts, yeah. Everyone's like, yeah, exactly. They're like, oh yeah, your religion promotes this, or, you know, your religion is causing the abuse. Like how can you associate a religion with an entire like issue?
Exactly. Cause like, I think people like especially when there's like oppression happening, like everything is like so politicized, like people don't even want to look at the real issue anymore. It turns into this whole bigger debate about, you know,
yeah, about whose fault it is and who caused it and things like that, instead of focusing on the issue itself. And like, I personally know there's like a lot of tension between Pakistani and Indian people, as I'm pretty sure there's tensions between, you know, Jews and Muslims because of that as well. And like, it's really a matter of taking the issue and then putting it objectively and thinking like, okay, it doesn't matter whose fault it is, like how do we solve the problem.
I wouldn't say that the tension is between Jews and like Muslims. It's mainly between Palestinians and like Zionists. Like,
yeah,
I feel like we shouldn't characterize it as like all Jews, because that's
like, yeah, of course not, like we know that there's exceptions,
right?
But also like the thing is that a lot of people like to always blame it on religion.
Mm-hmm.
They always look at it of like, oh yeah, Muslims are violent, like their beliefs promote violence, and that's not true, which I think a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, because like the religion is obviously perfect, the people practicing your religion are not always going to be perfect, and obviously there's going to be people that get the wrong way. You can criticize those people, but you can't put like a whole religion under fire, like even like for like, you know, like like Jews, like obviously Zionists are horrible, but like you can't say like that all Jews are like bad, you know.
Yeah,
that's basically true. Putting a label on the whole religion instead of like a section that was made after the Holocaust, like that there's a whole
that's so true. But like another thing I've heard is that like whenever, like I don't know if this happens with you guys, but in the news, like a lot of people who have those beliefs that like a certain religion is bad, they like push those beliefs onto like media and things like that. So like literally one time, this is kind of embarrassing, but I tried like commenting on like one of these posts saying like there's this message going around lately that there's like a genocide in Pakistan and like other places of Hinduism. And, you know, I think that's really taken out of context, because all of those instances are hate crimes. None of them is like the government or like mass killings of people. It's just the instances where you have violent Muslims or you have like imperfect people, like you said, who go and attack them because they think this is the way to respect their religion, which isn't, of course, but you can't associate like the actions of a few with like an entire country or an entire like religion, like you said. And, so I think that's one thing that's really taken out of context, and I see people reposting it all the time. But anyway, so I commented on like one of these posts, and I was like, yeah, this is like taken out of context. The prime minister of like Pakistan is actually like very open to different religions. Like he created like a pilgrimage site he opened up his borders for Sikhs in India to come and, you know, use their pilgrimage site in Pakistan. And, you know, they're like, oh, what BS? And I'm like, this isn't BS. You have to like look at the thing from like an objective perspective. That's what I keep like saying. You can't like,
yeah, here's the thing, because like personally I know, like especially when they say like the Hindu stuff, I'm from Sindh, which is where most of like my family is from, there where most of the Hindu population in Pakistan lives. And to be honest, if anything happens, it's not even related to religion, it's like personal conflict or property conflict, and then it gets taken out of proportion, and there's like propaganda on both sides. So like if something happens, it's automatically a national issue, like a religion issue, and especially like on social media, because it's like people don't realize, because like you're like, okay, in school you're forced to watch this documentary from Netflix about, like, even though it sounds like really cringy and like really dumb, it was like a documentary about like how social media basically manipulates you, because like you only see the stuff that you agree with. So if you think that's the only stuff you see, you think everyone in the world agrees with you. So it's like on social media, I feel like it's like so polarized to the point where people just like are so brainwashed, they like, you can't have an argument because they're not willing to listen, or like if you like try to like teach them about like a different perspective or a different side, like you're like automatically shut down, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember a while ago, y'all remember that one video on TikTok where it was that person saying that they'll sacrifice their life for Pakistan, and everyone was like,
oh my god, that pissed me off so much.
Like, that's what they're doing to their people, they're brainwashing them. And I made a quick post genuinely saying that this is just being, it's like, when you're saying that you'll, like, go, like, for example, when Americans say that they'll fight for their country when they join the military, it's the same thing. They're just saying, like, they're just very,
patriotic.
Yeah, they're patriotic for their country. And everyone was saying that they were brainwashed, and I quickly made a post and I was like, there's a big difference. This is what the situation is. Like, be more informed. And I don't think I've ever gotten, I haven't gotten attacked like that since I posted something about Palestine. Like, it was that bad. People were like, oh, well, why are you undermining the situation, saying that, like, people in India aren't persecuted by the Muslims because it goes both ways. And I was like, you know what, I'm not going to talk about this because I'm not from both countries, so I don't think it's more controversial at this
point. Army school, what do you expect? It was a whole army school,
literally.
It's, yeah, exactly,
patriotic. Like, I don't know why people took that out of context.
I mean, if you go to, even if you in like America, if you like go to like a Navy training center, or like when they recruit people, that's literally what you do.
So for, I don't know, Navy training center, go to North Forsyth and you'll literally just have people saying that they'll join ROTC, they're gonna train, they're gonna be a part of the military, they're gonna fight for their country, and that's fun. No one's saying it's a bad thing. But when it's people of like from Pakistan and they're saying that they're just gonna sacrifice their life for their country, and all of a sudden they're brainwashed, like,
I have to take into consideration is that Middle Eastern countries and like Pakistan, Bengali, and stuff like that, people just think we're brainwashed. That's it. Like, if you say something in your country, like, you're like, yeah, like, you have pride for your country, all of a sudden you're brainwashed and you don't know anything. Or you're a terrorist, one of these two. You're not like, that's what they see you as.
Mm-hmm. And especially, I think the language barrier kind of plays into it. Like, everyone was like, great. I'm like, like, honestly, like, if someone can't speak English, who are you to like attack them? Like, I bet you can't speak Urdu, or I bet you can't speak like Arabic.
Y'all had to, I remember in my history class, they had to literally pronounce like the words of like the five pillars of Islam. Like, they couldn't just say prayer, they couldn't just say fasting, they had to say Islam, like Salah, everything. And I don't think I've ever tried so hard not to laugh in my life. I wasn't making fun of them, but it's like they make fun of like people who can't speak English, like when they have an accent and they can't even say a four-letter word in Arabic. So,
or like in Spanish class especially, like the people are struggling to say me llamo, like,
like, stop.
There's like a whole trend on TikTok where people were going to that lady, her name is Sarah Khan, and apparently she's part of Pakistani government, but they were literally going to her Instagram page, and like underneath the post where her mom died, they were like saying like grape and stuff like that. I'm like, this is not the place or the time, because it's like, you know, it's not just a TikTok joke anymore. Like, you're literally going to her Instagram page under where her mom died and be like, grape, sacrifice your life. Like, I don't understand.
That's true.
Yeah, I actually searched it up because I thought people were faking it, but I went through her Instagram and like it was so bad, and like she probably doesn't even understand what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point, honestly? Like, what entertainment are you getting out of making fun of someone's accent?
Exactly.
Like, grape.
Like, see, the thing is, I laugh when I'm like so confused. Like,
that's true. When you're under pressure, you laugh.
Like, who does that? Like,
I know.
I don't get, but like, I understand kind of like from a different person's perspective if they commented it on like another post. But if your mom died, you can't just comment, oh, grape or something. Mm-hmm. That's at least.
Because like, I feel like people don't realize, like, especially on social media, there's like a person behind the page, you know? Like, it may be like funny for you and you don't have like an impact, but like, people are like, a real person is behind that screen. Like, I feel like people forget that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question, are people ever confused about the fact that the Arabic word for God is Allah? So let's kind of talk about like the word Allah itself.
Okay, I think a lot of my friends, they use Allah and they think Allah just means Arab God, like Muslim God.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know if they know that it just means God in translation, but they're always like, oh my God, yes, I wish Allah will like help me when I sneak out. I'm like,
that's basically saying like, if you think Jesus is your God, that's basically saying like, you think Jesus is going to help you out or whatever.
But like, the thing is, like, I totally get my friends. They're just like trying to understand me, which like, I guess I can't like judge them because like, they're just trying to like understand my religion. Mm-hmm. And I love them for that, but like, they have to take something into context.
Mm-hmm. And then one thing, Ariana Grande came out with a song called God is a Woman, like, I think 2 years ago. And, you know, people were under fire, or, like, she was under fire because people were saying, like, you know, God is a he. But, like, truly, Allah, like, is an Arabic word which doesn't associate with a gender. Did you not know about this?
I knew it was a song. I didn't know people were like, it's a he.
Yeah, they said, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Christian people were like, yeah, it's a he. And, like, it's really important to know that the word Allah doesn't associate with, like, a gender. Like, he is beyond our understanding. He's beyond us, you know? So to categorize him as, like, a male or a female is, like, blasphemy.
Also, one thing, like, there's Arab, I don't know why this isn't processed in people's minds, but there are Arab Christians, and they will use words like mashallah or whatever, because, like, it just translates to, like, or for example, inshallah translates to God willing, or if God wills, and there are Arab Christians that use those words, because it's just an Arabic word. But, like, tell people, yeah, there's an Arab, like, there are Arab Christians, and they're shocked. I'm like, why? Like, they use these words, like, they use the word Allah in their context, because it's just the Arabic word for God.
Oh, also, Allahu Akbar, like, that is a phrase that associated with, like, terrorism and things like that. Yeah. Do Arab Christians, or, like, anyone who speaks Arab, really, like, also say Allahu Akbar?
No, not that I've ever met. And okay. I've lived, like, I've been to the Middle East and lived there, and I've never met, like, a Christian that said that. Mm-hmm. But they do use, like, Allah, like Jinan said, they do use Allah, insha'Allah, masha'Allah. Like something.
Wait, I have a question. I don't know if this, like correct or not, but, like, I've heard somewhere that, like, even before Islam, like, they use, like, Allah to describe, like, God, like, in, like, Mecca and whatever.
I can't tell you about that because I don't know.
I don't know if it's true. I don't know if I should be putting this out there because I myself don't know if it's true, but.
I mean, honestly, it makes sense because I think when the Quran was revealed, it was revealed in the Arabic language so that the people could understand, you know? And so there were probably words in there that the Arabic people of that time were, like, familiar with. Yeah, but I can't say for sure again.
Yeah, I know for a fact that they, like, believed in one God, but they associated, like, different people with that God. But I don't know about that.
Okay. Is shirk also considered blasphemy? So shirk is, like, the association of partners with God.
Yes.
I think yes, but only for Muslims.
Right. So, like, earlier I was talking about, literally that was, like, everything I talked about in the beginning. like, the whole, like, evil, like, the yellow, blue necklace, knocking on wood, saying on Jah instead of on God or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those things are considered blasphemy for Muslims because you are relying on something else or someone else other than God to protect you.
Right. Okay, so this one goes back to some, like, examples that we've seen in our, like, recently of, like, blasphemy. So we have Nessa Barrett a few months ago, you know, dancing to the Quran. And then we have Rihanna had her Savage X Fenty lingerie, like, fashion show, and a song with a clip from the Hadith was, like, remixed and was used in the back of, like, the lingerie show, like, as background music. And then also the 2018 Met Gala was Catholic themed. So how do you think all of these things, like, play into Islamophobia and blasphemy itself?
So basically, I actually, which is really weird, I made a TikTok about the whole Nessa Barrett situation, and it actually blew up, which is weird. But the thing about Nessa Barrett, it's that she was, like, she's been making fun of Islam even before that video. Like, she has one with, like, I think it was, like, saying Jesus and stuff like that. And she was like, ahaha, I'm Muslim.
Yeah,
and then that's true. That she made a, she was like, she, I guess she threw it back to the Quran, and then she, like, gave, like, she gave how do I say this, like,
a justification
two times, and, like, the third time she was like, no guys, I genuinely mean it. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I think, like, what do you mean you think you're sorry?
And then one thing is, she used the fact that she has Muslim family, or she is Muslim herself, to, like, justify what she did, as if that would make things better.
No, like, the thing is, she doesn't even have Muslim family. She has, like a stepmom that's from Egypt.
Yeah. That's, like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And the Rihanna, like, she came out with a lingerie show and stuff like that. Who would think to put like a hadith remix? Like you'd have to like genuinely go to the hadith and pull it out. And like
exactly. And like Rihanna, for a fact, I know she knows what like Islamic stuff is.
Yeah, because it's not also her first time. Like she also went to a mosque and made it into her own fashion show. Well, she didn't like make it into her own fashion show, but like she like basically wore the hijab and like started posing in the mosque.
Yeah.
Also, did anyone else notice how like fast that situation blew over? Like everyone kind of took her Instagram apology and was like, okay. And I'm sitting here like, really? Like that's it?
That's it.
Y'all called out Nessa for like months and you still call her out now. Like give Rihanna the same energy.
Right.
She has a bigger platform, and two, like she went out of her way to find like that song or two.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, the thing is that people were like, oh yeah, we still praise her, we don't care. Oh, one more thing, and like people are so ignorant when it comes to Islam. That's what I just think.
Yeah, especially because of the media influence. Like I genuinely think if I wasn't born Muslim and my only source of information was like propaganda and media, I would definitely think that Islam is like a violent religion. But the problem is people don't like go out of their way to like explore the true meaning. Like my dad tells me all the time that like American people, or not all American people of course, because we know that some are educated, but like a lot of them, all they care about is like, this is gonna sound so rude, I'm sorry, but like TV, money, and like a beer, like just keeping up with, you know, those are basically the things that are like important to our society nowadays. And that's so sad to think about, because you know America is a place where it's like a melting pool of like lots of cultures, lots of religions. So just having that like innate bias towards other cultures because of the media and everything like that just makes the issue way more worse than it has to be.
Yeah, also I feel like people don't take like Islam seriously. Like as Muslims, like we're like really attached to our faith and our whole lives revolve around it, which is like I feel like people who are non-Muslim can't really relate to that, because like their lives don't revolve around their religion, and most of them are not that deeply connected to it, so they don't understand when Muslims get like so defensive about their faith, because that's literally our whole life. Like
yeah,
and like that's just like
a huge part of who we are.
And like if we're not defensive about it, no one else is going to be defensive about it. Like you'll never hear about a situation unless a Muslim person posts about it on their Instagram or something like that. But if you don't hear about it that way, like who's gonna post it? Fox 5? I don't think so.
Yeah, and like one thing about the 2018 Met Gala being like Catholic again, like America is such a diverse place for you to just say, oh, this is like a Christian theme party. What does that mean? Like only Christians can come? I'm supposed to dress up as a Christian? How do you do that?
Yeah, they don't put like a sign on the door, like no Muslims allowed.
Yeah, you know, you can just do that too. That works. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Okay. Next question. So there are a lot of like not like when you think about blasphemy and you think about like reactions towards blasphemy, you automatically think of, or most people automatically think of, like violent, like, you know, executing people who have done blasphemy and things like that. So what would you think is like the best way to handle those kind of situations?
I think leaving something against a religion or your religion.
Yeah, if someone says something against your religion, what would be the best way to handle that situation that isn't as like portrayed as extreme?
Just to explain it to them. Like, don't go overboard. Just tell them why it's wrong.
Well, what about, like, the Charlie Hebdo cartoons and, like, Islamophobia as a whole? How would you address that?
We would address it, like, to social media and everyone. And then, like, we'd try to find a way to explain it to them. And if they keep on, how do I say it? Like, I don't know, like, disregarding it, we have to do something about it. Like, for example, we all boycotted. We boycotted France, and that's about it. And they're, like, demanding Arab countries to, like, start buying their stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, like, one thing is, like, the Charlie Hebdo cartoons, it isn't, like, a one-time occurrence. It's, like, happened over and over again. So, like, specifically for that, the only way you can combat it is just, like, you know, protesting against it. Like, I went to a protest when I was, like, 7 over these same, like, caricatures of the Prophet, and it's still going on. Like, that's so horrible to think about. Like, even with all of our resistance, nothing is becoming of it.
One thing I feel that will help just the Muslim community as a whole is reaching out to other communities for help as well. Like, people, if they only see like just Muslims backing it up, they're gonna say, oh, that doesn't apply to me, so why do I need to help them? But for example, if you were to get some people from the Christian communities, people from the Jewish communities, people from the Hindu communities, people from all communities, and you come together and you boycott it all at once, and they see that unity, that's when change is gonna happen, because everyone always sees one group and they're like, oh, like, it's not bothering me, so why do I need to help them? So until they feel like the impact from the whole situation, I guess, there's like, how do I explain this? Until there's unity, there's not going to be much change, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add like a little quick comment about like I think like the whole boycotting, sorry, I can't say that right, is like a really great initiative, because like you're not doing something violent, but it's like still getting them an impact, like they're really like feeling it on the financial, which is like causing them to like reach out or whatever, you know.
But like, so the sad thing to me is they're not doing it because it's morally wrong to Muslims, they're doing it because they're losing profit and their economy is going down.
But like, yeah, but it's like because of that, it's like getting more like news coverage, I guess. So like,
yeah,
people are like, a lot of these things like Fox or whatever, they don't even cover this stuff, so most people don't even know that this is going on. Most people don't know, because like most people are genuinely good, right? So if people see something bad happening, they're like instinctively gonna like condemn,
blame it on like, someone, like a scapegoat kind of.
Yeah,
but like, okay. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Last question, kind of to wrap up this segment. What about my freedom of speech? Like, if
I don't think that applies to you.
Yeah, but like, a lot of Muslims like maybe aren't as connected with their religion. Like, they're born into it, but they don't like pursue it themselves. So like, you know, sometimes they might say things like that. If you were to like see someone who had blasphemous behavior and they said, what about my freedom of speech? Like, what would you say?
I'm not saying that. That is something else. I think if they were born into it and their parents didn't teach them much about it and they're not learning about it, I don't really know how you could like try to help them like understand what's happening. But if you're like Muslim and you try to call out someone like being, like, I can't say the word, I don't think it applies to you, because most likely somebody will, like, you'll get charges for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I think, like, honestly, there's no reason to ridicule any religion. Like, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, like, there's no reason to go out of your way and insult those beliefs, because those beliefs are, like, sacred to people. And, like, of course, there's some beliefs that other people have that I found, like, find, like, ridiculous, which, no offense, but I think, like, it just doesn't align with my moral values, but that's okay. I'm not going to go out of my way and tell that person that what they're doing is wrong, their, like, god or goddess or whatever is, like, inaccurate, you know? Like, it's really important to be sensitive to that kind of information, and honestly, religion shouldn't even be brought up in such like a broad context.
Honestly, people with that mindset, like, to win, not even win an argument against them, just to get through a conversation with them, you have to contradict what they say, because if they're gonna bring up my freedom of speech, you're gonna bring up the fact that they didn't let you talk, so that's like they took away your freedom of speech almost.
And one thing I think that really like plays into avoiding blasphemy is like, just consider, what if that person's like beliefs were real? Like, I know because you're part of a different religion, you don't believe that that person's beliefs are real, but just consider the fact that it could be. Like, would you want to suffer that like fate that they have in store for you if like, you know, that religion was true?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I don't really see the point of like insulting other religions. Like, what are you getting out of it?
Yeah, I don't think like you should ever backfire on people's beliefs. Like, you should never be like, oh, this is wrong. Because at the end of the day, like, you don't know what the person's going through. And maybe that's like their only source of happiness. And that's not also the thing, is that you don't, I don't know. I just feel like you should never backfire. And also in Islam, we always say you're not allowed to hate or support like other beliefs,
right? Like, I'm pretty sure there's a hadith that says like you can't hate other beliefs, because that's just gonna draw like more attention to you. Like, what if someone who created the Charlie Hebdo cartoons, I don't really know if he was Christian, but what if I said, like, the reason why he's doing this is because he's Christian and because he hates me? Like, you could honestly use that as an argument, because there's so many Islamophobic people who like have, you know, who might be Christian, and so I'm not gonna like insult their religion so for them to just insult me back.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, especially living in America, we're like a secular country. That means like if I'm allowed to live here, then you're allowed to live here. And if you want to keep it that way and keep the peace and just like respect everyone, you do you, I'll do me. But like you can't like force your opinion or like force your lifestyle or your beliefs on me, and I'll do the same, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, guys, that's it. Thank you so much for coming.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to tune in for our next episode, where we will be discussing Islamophobia.